So we share together from Revelation chapter 22, and we want to hear what the Lord is saying to us from this particular text. And I will reread just one verse from Revelation chapter 22, and this one verse contains a part of the kernel and a part of the ultimate truth that we want to share this morning. Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, from the NIV, it reads like this: "Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. Behold, I am coming soon." I invite you, brothers and sisters, to reflect with me on how do we respond to end time truths. How do we respond to the end time truths that are contained in the word of the Lord? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bless and magnify your holy name. There is no God like you, Jehovah. And so we approach your throne in the loving and the compassionate name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your word. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit who allows your word to come alive. We pray, O God, that as we hear your word, we will hear it through the voice of the Spirit. We submit to you. We will not resist or reject your word. We will yield to your word and seek by your Holy Spirit to apply your word to our lives. So bless your word to our hearts, O God, and glorify your name. And everybody says amen. Amen. My brothers and sisters, the end time truths or the end time realities that I refer to in the theme of this sermon have very little to do with some of the present day realities that we are going through. Some present day realities that are undoubtedly weighing many of us down. When we speak of end time realities or some of the end time truths, I do not want us to focus on the pandemic that we are going through now, even though that is a reality that we cannot ignore because it is in our faces or on our faces every day. When we speak about the end time realities, neither am I referring to or asking you to focus on the global upheavals that are taking place politically and in other aspects of life. Neither do I want us to spend too much time concentrating on the moral and religious shifts that are taking place, moral and cultural shifts that are taking place right throughout the globe. Even though these are factual happenings, and even though these are big realities, can I declare to you this morning that there is a reality, and there are some ultimate truths that are bigger than all the circumstances that we have to face as believers. And when we read Revelation chapter 22, those ultimate truths, they come home to us in a very forceful way. And the question that I want us to answer this morning is, how do we respond to the truths that are declared in Revelation chapter 22? One of the truths that we see repeated, and all the other truths hang on to this truth, is a truth that is said thrice in Revelation chapter 22. Hear verse 7 of this chapter when it says, "Behold, I am coming soon." And it's as if we didn't hear, it says again in verse 12 of this text, "And behold, I am coming quickly." We hear it repeated in verse 20 of the text, "Surely I am coming soon." And by then, the writer of Revelation joins in the chorus, and his longings increase as he said, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly." My brothers and sisters, the coming of the Lord is a reality that every believer should hang on to. There is no greater expectation that we have than the desire to have the Lord return and to claim his servants unto himself and to claim back this world as his own. The end times happenings that we see unfolding around us are not accidental happenings. These happenings are predicted in Scripture. The happenings are also not an event or a set of events. It is the unfolding of a series of processes. And at the very heart of this series of unfoldings is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church cannot talk correctly about the end times if Jesus is not at the center of our reflections and our declarations. Any end time conversation that does not include Jesus will lead the church into panic and into following false predictions. At the very heart of the end time teaching and the prophetic utterances is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world and the Son of the living God. Give him praise, someone. So we declare that there is someone in charge of the end time unfoldings. That the end time unfoldings are not happening accidentally or without anyone guiding. In fact, I invite you to hear some of the words of the New Testament writers that were very clear that in their season they had entered already into the end times. So when you hear Paul, when you hear Peter, when you hear them talking about their age, they talked about it using end time language. They talk about it using expressions that say that they are at the end of the age. We hear Peter saying in 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 7 that the day is at hand. We hear the writers declaring that the hour has come. So from the time of Christ and the death and resurrection of Jesus, we were ushered into what we call the end times. And we are a people who are a part of an end time throng, a part of an end time series. And we must fit ourselves into God's timeline and into God's agenda as we watch things unfolding around us. But as we watch, never get caught up in the events. Always get attached to Jesus. Never get caught up in the historical unfoldings. We get attached and focused on the one who sits on the throne, and his name is Jesus. Give him praise, someone. So when you read Revelation chapter 22, we just want to list some of the truths that are in Revelation 22 that I'm going to invite the believers to respond to. Some of the truths that we can't dismiss them no matter how hard we try, because the truths are there as realities, big realities that the believers must embrace and the believers must respond to. When you read Revelation 22, we declared one of those big truths already. And the big truth in Revelation 22 is that Jesus is coming back again. That Jesus is faithful to his promise. That the same Jesus who, when we saw him on the day of ascension, we hear the angels comforting the believers who are standing around and saying to them, the same Jesus whom you see go up today will return in like manner. It is the same Jesus who declared in John, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I go, he may also be. What a big truth that we must never lose lose sight of. Jesus is coming back again. And the Jesus who is coming back again is not a baby Jesus. It is Jesus who is ruler and judge, who has rewards with him. The Lord who comes back is the Lord who doesn't come back searching for a place for humans to give to him. It's the Lord who occupies his place and now calls humanity to take their place based on how they live. That's a big reality. He's coming back as just ruler and fair judge. But if you read this text, the text also says that the same Jesus that we met in Revelation chapter 1, who declared himself to the churches in Asia Minor and says that I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. We hear this Jesus declaring about himself in Revelation chapter 22 that I have not changed. My power has not been reduced. I am the same God from the beginning, and I will bring the end into reality. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. The unchanging and faithful God. Give him praise, someone. Give him praise. Hallelujah. When you read further, another reality that we see in this text, and we see it coming down from Revelation chapter 20, is that the earth will be renewed. The earth now is groaning and is suffering under the weight of the fall and the weight of sin. But when you read Revelation chapter 21 and Revelation chapter 22, we are greeted with this great news that there will be a new heaven and there will be a new earth. We are greeted with a big truth that says things will not remain the same as they are. An imperfect world that has been stained and tarnished by sin and evil. The Lord says, when I usher in the end of time, it will come with a renewal of the earth. Change will take place. In fact, when you read Revelation chapter 22 from verse 1 through to verse 5, a glorious picture is presented to us, a picture of a scene that is heavenly, where the Lord sits on the throne and there is a river that is running through the city. Look at the picture. There is also a tree of life, and the Lord says that the tree will bear fruit in every season. The leaves on it shall never wither. There will be a time when curse will be reversed and death will ultimately be conquered, and the fruit trees of the land will continue to bear fruit. That is a reality that every believer must come to grips with. But perhaps the two realities are two big truths at the end are the truths that I don't want any believer to miss. Hear this one, that in the ultimate end of the age, there will be a great separation. And John, in Revelation 22, makes it very clear. John talks about those whose robes are white, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Another version puts it this way, those who have kept or honored the commandments of the Lord, they gain entrance into the city. And then it says, outside of the city, those who have no blood-washed passport to enter into God's eternal bliss. The Bible says that they are outside into eternal banishment. We preach it, but we don't preach it with joy. We preach it because it is a reality that there will be a great separation. On one hand, you will have those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb, who enter into God's eternal city. On the outside, the text says, you will have sorcerers, you will have adulterers, you will have those who indulge in deceptions and evil. They have no part in the kingdom of God. This reality is something that the believer must never miss. And then the final reality that I want to point out from this text, the final big truth, is that the Lord says in this text that those who belong to him, he will put a mark on their foreheads. That those who are his, those who belong to the household of the redeemed, those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb, that in this text, the writer continues to use the same symbolic language that is used right throughout Revelation, that a mark will be on you. And the mark will be on your forehead, that nobody can miss it, that the blood is on you. It's coming from the whole, you remember, from the Old Testament, from the Exodus. It's the same kind of language that is used, that when the children of Israel were moving out of Egypt. You remember on that last occasion when the Lord says, lock up in our house, I'm going to send my death angel, and I'm going to only pass over those who have the mark on their doorpost, those who have the blood of the Lamb. And it was physical lamb then, but the entire scripture picks up that kind of language and says that those who follow Jesus, who are washed in the blood of the Lamb, God going to put a mark on us, his stamp upon us, to say that you belong to me, you are my own, and enter now into the joy of my Lord. I want to praise God for these realities, for these ultimate truths, and to hear what the scriptures say about these truths. Revelation says that these words are faithful and true. All these words about Jesus coming back again, about Jesus being the Alpha and Omega, about Jesus putting a mark on us, about the Lord sitting on the throne, about the renewal of the universe. The text says, these are not made up words. These words are faithful and true because they come from the one who we can describe as the faithful and the true Lord. His promises are yes and amen. In fact, we are warned. We are warned in this text that you see these truths that are in Revelation, the scripture says, don't mess with them. Don't try to add to it. Don't try to take away from it. Don't try to reinterpret it to fit our own timetable. Don't try to adjust it to for it to fit comfortably into our own moral standards. In fact, the text says, anyone who attempts to adjust the words of this prophetic writing, a plague will come upon them. So we say to the church of God, we won't cut it and we won't trim it. We won't adjust it. All when we are living below it, we won't bring it down. We say, Lord, lift us up to a higher level of holiness so that we can match what your words say to us. So here then, if the Lord is saying, don't mess with it, don't change it, don't adjust it, what kind of response then should we give to these ultimate truths? I want to suggest that there are two ways in which all of us need to respond. There are two ways. And I want to say, especially to those who will be baptized this morning at the end of this service, that it is important that you don't get caught up in any kind of false response. Because sometimes people respond to end time truths and they respond in a kind of panicky way. They respond in a kind of fearful way. But I want to suggest two responses. One, I want to suggest from what we have read, that those who want to respond to the end time truths that are declared in Revelation 22, they must respond with a sense of anticipation. That when we read the truths of God's word, when we come face to face with the promises of God, you know what that should do for us? It should heighten our level of anticipation. We should join with John near the end of the book when Jesus was saying, I am coming quickly, I am coming soon, I am coming quickly. John's anticipation was heightened, and we hear John saying, even so, Lord, come quickly. I believe that is a most appropriate response. a response of anticipation. That, Lord, we are waiting. Lord, we are expecting. Lord, our hope is alive because we believe that your promises are true. My brothers and sisters, one of the cautions that we must respond to as believers, we must ensure that nothing kills our sense of hope, that nothing drains our hope, that nothing stifles our anticipation. Can you help me make a confession this morning? Help me make a confession. Do you know that there are some people who no longer have this heightened anticipation and expectation of the coming of the Lord? Do you know that there are many people who are so caught up in what is happening in the world, caught up making a living, caught up to, you know, just ensuring that they have the right job, that we have the right material possessions, that in fact sometimes our behavior actually says, even so, Lord, don't come right now, because we're involved in too many things. Lord, hold on, let me marry it first. Lord, hold on, I have a big deal that is coming up for me. Even so, Lord Jesus, keep me, but don't come yet. There are too many people who have lost their sense of anticipation. Anyone who loses the sense of anticipation and loses the sense of hope, it will lead to at least two things. One, when we lose the sense of anticipation, it heightens our sense of anxiety. That whenever we lose track of the fact that Jesus is coming, when we lose track of the fact that the promises of God are true, then when things are unfolding around us, we become anxious, we become fearful, we become jittery. But the Christian who remains peaceful, who remains calm, is the Christian who says God is in control. The Christian who says God is the driver. The Christian who says no matter what is unfolding, I know that God has a plan. And God is working his purpose out according to his will and according to his timetable. So yes, you are concerned. We are concerned about the pandemic. We pray that it will come to an end sooner than later. We pray that the deaths will not continue to rapidly increase. We pray that the spread will be curtailed. We pray that a vaccine will be discovered and it will be useful in containing that virus. But even as we pray that, we don't get caught up in a sense of panic and anxiety. We say, Lord, even as all these things are happening around us, we know that you're still in control. Lord, when we look to our spiritual eyes, we know that there is someone who still sits on the throne. And we know that Jesus still calls the shot. And we want to declare it. And that allows our anticipation to increase. When anticipation rises, anxiety reduces. And there are too many Christians who get anxious, can't sleep at night. I want you to pat yourself on the shoulder and say, self, remember who is in control. Remember his promises are yes and amen. But if our anxiety, if our anticipation is not heightened, it will lead to heightened anxiety. But secondly, if our anticipation is not way up, it will give us room to become entangled in the things of this world. Anytime we take our eyes off Jesus, and take our eyes off the fact that he's coming back again, and take our eyes off the fact that Jesus is coming as judge with rewards in his hand, if we don't have that at the center of our minds, you know what's going to happen? We live any old way. We lead any old kind of loose life. Because we are saying to ourselves, no man, we have time. Everything is all right. And unfortunately, there are some believers who live as if God doesn't have a timetable. There are some believers who live entangled in the things of this world. We hear Paul in Colossians chapter 3 giving the warning to believers and saying to believers, don't set your affections on things below, but set your minds, your anticipation on things that are above. Allow our agenda to be set by heaven and not by earthly things. So because we know that Jesus is coming again, we can't get involved in certain deals. Come with me now, church. Because we know that Jesus is coming back again, we can't mix up and have all kind of extramarital affair, because he's coming back again and we anticipate that any day now, because he's coming back again with rewards, we can't be hypocritical. We can't be one person in church on a Sunday morning and another person at work on a Monday morning. Because we know that he's coming back again and our anticipation is heightened, we say, Lord, even so, come quickly. And let the church give him praise. Let the church give him praise. So as we long for the coming of the Lord, let's be very careful that we don't move to two extremes. There are those who anticipate his coming, and as a result, they sit passively and wait. They don't get involved in nothing. They don't get involved in any Christian service. They don't try to change nothing. You know why? Because then say Jesus has come back. They don't, you know, there's a time when I was growing up, when I used to hear some little youth, I say, you know, might as well not bother the exam, because Jesus has come, and it will be a waste of time. And there are some people who take the same kind of approach, that since Jesus is coming, why may I kill up myself? Why may I work and get a job? You know, the idea of occupy till I come. Or occupy, meaning to embrace all the opportunities that God has given to us and become good stewards of the resources that God has given. Because in the end, he's going to call upon us to give an account. What have you done with the gifts and talents I've given to you? What have you done with the calling on your life? What have you done with it? Occupy till he comes. And we say, even so, Lord, come quickly. Can I hear the church say, come quickly? Can I hear the church say, come quickly? So the first response is a response of anticipation, heightened anticipation. The second and final response that I want us to reflect on as we think of end time truths and end time realities is that we must not only have a response of anticipation, but our response must be one of preparation, disciplined preparation. That those who anticipate the coming of the Lord and those who believe that the Lord's words are true and his promises are yes and amen, we cannot live loosely. We must live disciplined, holy lives as we prepare and as we wait for the coming of the Lord and for the fulfillment of the Lord's prophetic word. In fact, I want to declare to all those who are listening this morning that those who anticipate his coming should never be caught off guard. Those who anticipate that Jesus Christ is coming, every day is a day of preparation. Every day we are putting on the armor. Every day we are sharpening our tools. Every day we are ensuring that there is oil in our proverbial lamps. The Christian must be in a state of readiness. Have you ever heard some people saying that they're taking a break? Taking a break from the Christian journey. You may not, you're too young to have heard that, Pastor. But you may have heard people saying at their workplaces, when they get involved in some scuffle with other people, that they're going to just put on them Jesus. They're going to put on Jesus for a moment because they have to deal with this case. You know, any case that is not dealt with in a Christ-like and Jesus way, it means that you are loosening up your level of readiness and your level of preparation. Every time that we have to lower our standard in order to confront an issue and in order to make a decision, it means that our level of preparation and alertness are not where it ought to be. So I say to 65, be ready. Do not take the risk as others have done and are doing, spending their time predicting instead of preparing. There are some who have taken over God's role and they have decided to set an agenda and a timetable for the Lord. And the sad thing about it is that there are many believers who have become gullible and very vulnerable. Every little video that we watch online, every little thing that we hear about a little vaccine, every little prediction, you know, church members sending it to me, Pastor, you must watch this. Don't you realize that we have come to the end of the time? But it's long time I preach and tell you, say, you come to the end of the time. But a little video getting you nervous. And people are getting nervous without changing their lives. People getting jittery instead of saying, Lord, in light of all that's unfolding around me, draw me nearer. Draw me nearer to your blessed bleeding side. Lord, when I see all that's unfolding around me, keep me true, Lord Jesus. Keep me true. That should be the prayer. Every youngster, every school person, when they go to school, don't follow your friend and say, boy, you know, we don't have to do anything. God soon come. No, man. Get hard. Work hard. But as you work hard, make sure you hold on to the values of the Christian faith. Because you're saying any day now, I want to lead a life that when I stand before my Maker, I can give an account to Him where God can look at me and say, well done. You know, church, I long for that. That's why I know when we're doing things, we have to do it right. Because a part of the preparation, that as a set of believers, we can't get involved in hypocrisy and pretense and be who we are not. A lot of people, not people who come to this church, but a lot of other people who I know who go to some other church, that they're very pretentious and then fake a lot of things. Fake, a lot of people fake things, you know. Fake spirit, fake gifts of the spirit, fake prophetic utterances, because they want to feel good and want to feel accepted. We want to just say to all the fakers, there is no room in the kingdom of God for those who pretend to be who they are not. That if there is something in my life that is not right, we are saying, cleanse me, Jesus. Wash me, Jesus. There is an attitude that I have. There's a habit that I'm engaged in. There is a sin that I keep committing. There are some relationships that are unhealthy. There are some things that I'm watching. There are some things that I'm listening. Oh, God, cleanse me. Because I want, when you return, I am found ready. We want to be ready when he comes. So hear this word as I close. From St. Matthew chapter 24. It says, you too, Jesus says, keep watch. For you don't know what day or hour the Lord is coming. Understand this, that if a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and he would never allow his house to be broken into. And then Jesus says, you also must be ready at all times, for the Son of Man will come when you least expect. When you read Revelation chapter 22, there is a window of grace and repentance that is open. When you read near the latter part of the text from verse 17, you hear it saying, let all those who are thirsty come. Let those who need a drink from the well of salvation come. And we join in Isaiah chapter 55, come without money and without price. The gospel is free. Anyone who is seeking fulfillment, come to Jesus. So there is that window of grace that we find even in this final chapter. But there is an indication that the window will close. Because if you look up from verse 14, it says, or verse 11, somewhere there, it makes it clear that there is coming a time when the Lord will come, when those who are filthy must be filthy still. And those who are holy will be holy still. You know what that means? That when the Lord puts in his final appearance, whatever state he finds you in, you can't run and get oil in your lamp at that stage. You can't call for repentance at that stage. whatever state you're in, church, you know how I would love for God to find all of us? To in the category that says, let those who are holy be holy still. I wonder if anybody shares that prayer with me. I want the Lord to find me in that place and says, you are holy, remain holy still. My prayer for 65 is that this church will be a church of great anticipation, never losing sight of the promises of God and the second coming of our Lord Jesus. And this church, with all its activities, with all its services, with all its community engagement, should never, never abandon the preparation agenda. And the preparation is to say to all of us, sanctify me, Lord, with your word. Your word is truth. Help me to live by the truth, so that when you come, I may be found ready. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the one who sits on the throne. Hallelujah to the Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah to the one who is the Son of David. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the beginning and the end. Hallelujah to the God who cannot be dethroned. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, as I have repeated the truths that are in your word, not newly discovered truths, not truths that the believers have not heard before, but Lord, we take your word as a reminder. We write it on our hearts. We put it on our foreheads. Lord, we want our minds, our emotions, and our spirits to be saturated with your word, so that we become a set of believers who are always anticipating. A set of believers who never believe that we have arrived, but a set of believers who are always pressing and preparing and seeking your sanctifying grace. Lord, it is my prayer that no believer will fall by the wayside. It is my prayer that the young and the old, children, adults, young adults, that all will embrace your end time truths and will respond with great anticipation and with disciplined preparation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And the church says amen. And to the word of the Lord we say amen.